Our text for today comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. It can be found on page 67 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible. When a great crowd gathered and people from town to town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell in the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for having me with you this morning in worship, all the way from Cranberry. It is life-giving to be among you. Will you join your hearts with mine in prayer? God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the gift of your word opened before us. God, with your word open before us, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would quiet anything within us that's not from you, that we would hear your purpose for us this day, be it a word of comfort or a word of challenge or a little bit of both. God, whatever it is we need, you know. So make it so. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. My mother and my mother-in-law are two very different people. God bless them and God bless me. One of them is here today. They are unto themselves their own parable of the sower. This is how. My mother started a garden every single year. That's what she wanted for Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, we plant. We take the same old pots, plastic pots, never raised beds, that we used last year, and we plant zucchini and tomatoes, both cherry and something bigger, and eggplant if she was feeling adventurous that year, and basil. And that was it. And for a few weeks, she would tend to it daily, both in the morning and the evening. She gardened with vigor, right? But by late July, and certainly by early August, as the North Carolina heat was at its worst, the garden would just be left to fend for itself, and my mom would be indoors. It always bore fruit, nonetheless, but I would call it half-hearted fruit, It was a small harvest from what it could have been, I now know. And for most of my life, that's what I thought gardening was. That's what I thought you did. You planted and you watered and then basically you let it go. And you come back in a few weeks and you see what you got. Easy enough. And then I met my mother-in-law. And even more so, I started cohabitating with my mother-in-law. I learned that this is not at all how you garden. Gardening, whether plants or vegetables, and preferably both, it is daily work. Wind, rain, storm, and heat do not keep the gardener from their work. I remember the first season that we lived together, she would go outside with a pair of scissors and cut the tiniest piece of dead off of a plant. You couldn't even see it. Like down low, cutting little pieces of dead off a plant, making room for something new to grow. I didn't even know that was something you were supposed to do. And then anytime it rains, she's out there pulling weeds. I'm not talking about after it rains. While it rains, she's pulling weeds because apparently that's the best time to pull weeds. And even with all of that work, there's still a chance that the basil will get mold or the bunnies will snap your snapdragons, or a dozen other things could happen that are beyond your control and they just come and ruin all of your hard work. And so from this parable, I know two things. One, gardening is hard work, and two, I am not a gardener. I'm my mother's daughter. Jesus had his own parable on the topic. There is a sower, and he goes out to sow his seed, and as he does, the seed scatters here and there and everywhere. And some falls on the path where it is trampled by foot and eaten up by birds. And some falls on the rock at the edge of the garden, and while it starts to grow, it ultimately withers from lack of moisture. And then some thorns, and it begins to grow, but those thorns ultimately choke it, deprive it of all it needs to live. And then some falls into the good soil, and when it grows, it produces 100-fold. This was an everyday example to Jesus's original audience. It was as familiar to them as the gardening habits of my mother and mother-in-law are to me. Jesus's audience knew the rhythm of the garden well. They knew that not all the seed scattered bears fruit. They knew the shape, the outline of the garden, how the good soil was surrounded by rocks to set paths for the gardeners to walk, and how there were thorns planted intentionally to deter unwanted animals. And in this familiar place, the garden, they knew where to expect fruit from. Good fruit came from good soil. And Jesus says, let all who have ears to hear, ears to listen, hear. Let all who have ears to listen, hear this thing you already knew. But still, it engages their minds. It leaves them curious. What surprising thing could Jesus mean this very unsurprising thing we already know? And so his disciples ask him directly, what does the parable mean, Jesus? And Jesus answers, and three of the Gospels record his answer, which is part of what makes this parable so unique. We have Jesus' own interpretation of his own parable. It's an allegory, he explains. Not all parables are, but this one is. The seed is the word of God, and the soil is the people who hear the word of God. Some hear the word, but that which is not God, be it the devil or whatever name you want to give it, maybe narcissism or hate or a lack of empathy, whatever it is, it's made up of evil and it hardens their hearts. And it keeps their hearts too hard to receive the word of God. And so the word of God can bear no fruit. No salvation, no life comes from the soil. And some hear the word of God and receive it with joy and thanksgiving even, but this is the rocky soil, and once tested, it falls away. And so the word of God bears some fruit, but in this soil, it does not have what it needs to withstand time and testing, and so ultimately, it too withers. And then some, they hear the word of God and it starts to grow in them, but thorny things, things that are beside the point, things that are not from God, things like riches and vain cares and simple pleasures, they crowd out the word of God. And so in this soil, the word of God has no hope of maturing. And then there are those who hear the word of God, and like good soil, they hold fast to the word of God. With an honest, open, good heart, the word of God can bear fruit beyond our expectations. And so from this parable, we know two things. Good soil bears good fruit, and we want to be good soil. Good soil is the stuff of lifelong discipleship, which is today's topic in the 2020 Vision series of messages that Pastor Stephen started last week. Lifelong discipleship. In our own lives and in the lives of the congregation, lifelong discipleship is about how we claim and proclaim our identity as followers of Christ. It's about how we practice faith, how we grow in faith, how we cherish faith, how we share our faith out in the world. Lifelong discipleship has to be about more than words. It's about an active, engaged, awakened commitment to God. It's a living faith in relationship to a living God and to all people Christ loves, which, spoiler alert, is all people. Lifelong discipleship asks, how will people know that we are disciples of Christ? And the parable of the sower offers an answer to that very question. How we are disciples of Christ, they'll see it in our growth. They'll see it in the fruit we bear. It's a parable about vitality. What does it take to bear fruit? What does it take to have a faith that has roots enough? A faith that has sun enough, safety enough, soil enough, water enough to bear fruit, to give forth life, to live and to move, to be vital. There are other ways, more direct ways that Jesus could have answered this question, and sometimes I wish he would have. Jesus might have instead given something like 6 steps to lifelong discipleship, or 3 daily practices of a vital faith, or 4 traditions for intergenerational Christ following. But Jesus gives us a parable. And parables are funny things. Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber says that trying to read a parable as instructions on how to behave is like using riddles to get to the airport. It doesn't work. And the preacher Fred Craddock described how a parable places a burden on the listener as it teases their mind into active thought. The hearer feels tickled by a strange but familiar narrative, and they're left wanting and invited, even urged, to engage in some interpretation. Parables engage us, and they invite us into the process of interpretation, and that's one lesson we can learn about lifelong discipleship from this passage in Luke. Even before we get to the content of the parable itself, we get the literary form of a parable. Lifelong discipleship requires something of the hearer. Lifelong disciples are engaged in the process of interpretation. They follow their curiosity. They let the word of God sit and simmer and even stew. Lifelong disciples draw meaning and purpose from the Word of God, and every time they open the Word of God, that meaning and purpose, it might have changed. Lifelong disciples, like the original disciples, they aren't afraid to ask Jesus, what does it mean? If you're going to be a lifelong disciple, it's important to know that the Savior you are following prefers mystery to make it plain. The Savior you're following teaches in riddles. The Savior you're following plants something in you and lets it grow. He doesn't just hand over the fruit along with the kingdom keys. He wants you to participate in the work. Lifelong disciples are participating in the work of God. And here is some of the work that is required to be a lifelong disciple, to be folks of the good soil. The work of the good soil is daily. It is a regular practice of prayer, a regular practice of song and worship, and whatever spiritual discipline you choose. It's a routine and a daily habit. It's not simply a box that you check off on Sunday morning. Lifelong disciples bring God into their coming and their going, into their carpooling and their studying and their meetings and even their emails. They reflect their gratitude, their love, their joy. Lifelong disciples have a daily discipline. And the work of the good soil of the lifelong disciple is intentional. It is planned and it is thought out, and it anticipates the different needs of the different seasons. So too it is with a vital congregation. To be a church that forms lifelong disciples, we have to give thought to cradle to grave so that our whole lives long disciples are given what they need so that the Word of God might grow in them, so that they might produce good fruits of love and gratitude and joy. And the work of the good soil is protected. It is surrounded and safe. That's a big part of what it means to produce lifelong disciples as a church. The church is here to offer the protected and safe place for the Word of God to be planted, free from anything that might trample, divert, or take away from the building up of one another. Church is our safe place to grow alongside one another. And part of what makes the good soil good is that it endures all seasons. The joyful ones, yes. In the joyful ones, the good soil stores up the nutrients it needs for whatever might come. In joyful seasons, the lifelong disciple gives thanks to God, reflects God's grace in every way. Joy, love, and gratitude, again, they abound. But also, lifelong disciples, they know brokenness, and they know hardship, and they know heartbreak all the same. Lifelong disciples, though they trust in God's grace, even in the midst of the storm and the chaos, even when it seems impossible to give or to be more, even when we ourselves are empty, lifelong disciples lean on the grace of God. And with enough patient endurance, lifelong disciples, they will bear fruit. This seems like good enough advice from a good news parable. The vital faith of a lifelong disciple is daily, it's intentional, it's set aside and protected, and endures all seasons and shows patient endurance. These might be the five marks of a lifelong disciple, which are part of the seven marks of a vital congregation. But we should remember that Jesus didn't teach in lists. Jesus wanted to teach about vitality, so he chose a parable. Jesus didn't make a seven-mark source book. That was the Presbyterians, not Jesus. And when Jesus wanted to teach about vitality, he chose a parable, and he left it there. He let it confuse them. He left them itching for more. He planted within them something that had the potential to grow. And so in our journey to be a people and a church marked by lifelong discipleship, let us be more parable than practical, more scattered than plotted, more surprising than scheduled. And in all seasons, let us trust that the word of God planted by the God who knows us and loves us and tends to us daily, let us trust that that word of God will bear fruit our whole lives long. May it be so. Amen.